if I could interview you?
Yeah, Brent.
Is this a good time?
Well, it's okay. If I get a call, I'll have to put you on hold.
Sure, I understand. Take probably, I don't know, 20 minutes. Actually, it takes as long as you talk, I guess, but 10 or 12 questions, so whatever. You know, answer as short as long as you want to, if you would, please. You were assigned to a big bonus by the Tigers back in 46, is that right?
Right,
1945. 46 in, I guess, your first year.
Right.
In those days, the bonus rule changed almost annually. What was the, were you required to be brought to the big club at the end of the year?
No.
Okay. I know at 48, the bonuses were allowed, but the boys had to be brought up after 1 year in the minors. You did come up, however.
Yeah, right.
Had you been in the service, because you were a little old starting out?
Yeah, I spent 39 months in service.
Okay. So this was 46 and was your first year back out?
Well, out of service, yes.
Yes, okay.
45 I got out. That's when they signed me. December 45.
Okay. What, you played ball in the service?
Yes.
Okay. You had a start for the Tigers at the end of the 46 season. I've got two sources, and I have different statistics according to in each source according to what you did that day. Do you remember?
Well, I think I won 6-3 or something like that. I pitched 9 innings.
You did go the distance?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in the library. I checked it out. They always had me 7 innings, but I pitched the whole ball game.
Okay, that's one of the older sources I have has you down is for 7 innings, and then the newer source has you down for 9.
Yeah, right. So I know it. That's right.
Okay. Who was that against?
St. Louis Browns.
Okay. The next season, you went back down and did not have a particularly good season. Was there a problem? Were you injured? That was, you went to Buffalo in 47.
They sent me home. I hurt my arm.
Okay, so you weren't even know the full season.
I went home in about June or something. They sent me home June or July. Right, I pulled a muscle out of my arm.
Okay, but you came back outstandingly the next year with Williamsport.
Yeah.
And you came up to the Tigers at the end of the year. For the season, you won 23 games, which may have been as good as it was in professional baseball. Did you change anything, or were you just healthy?
No. My arm is okay. My arm is fine. I won 21 ball games for a fifth-place club, and also set a new strikeout record in the Eastern League.
No kidding. 238 strikeouts. That's a bunch of strikeouts. It's 219 strikeouts.
Well,
yeah.
I actually did more than that. I did about 230. They had me short on that thing, too.
Oh, did they really? This is, again, the old source I have here. You find that the older record books, I guess they thought they were accurate at the time, but these researchers are going back and finding all sorts of discrepancies.
Yeah, are they?
And a lot of guys are picking up wins.
What's this information for you for?
Pardon me?
What are you getting this information for? Your own?
No, sir, it's going to be an interview in a magazine called Sports Collector's Digest. Are you familiar with that?
Is it a baseball or is it a golf? See, I'm a professional golfer.
Right. Well, we're going to get to your golf in a minute, but no, it's baseball.
Okay.
And one of the side effects of this, and I guess I should have told you to start with, because some fellows don't like it. Most of them seem to enjoy it. You will get a pretty marked increase in autograph requests for a couple of weeks after it appears.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
It's okay. I get them every day.
Okay. Good. Some guys, you know, don't mind them, but they don't like a sudden increase. I know one fellow told me he got like 60 of them in the 2 or 3 weeks after his interview appeared. Normally, he got about 5 a week. So there's a pickup. Where were we? Okay, you're back in the majors to stay now after 48. You bounced around between the Tigers, the Browns, and the White Sox. In 1952, you had two consecutive two-hitters.
Right.
Who were they against, and you must have been an awfully hot pitcher for that period of time.
Well, I shut out the Yankees, and I shut out Boston. I shut them both out.
Okay. That was probably your best year. You may not have had...
pitched some pretty good game. I, at St. Louis one year, I pitched 3 ball games. I allowed 1 run in 27 innings.
Oh, my goodness.
I never won a game. But Marlon Stewart came in. Marion took me out for a pinch hitter all 3 times. Marlon Stewart pitched 1 inning in each game and won all 3 games.
No kidding. Marlon,
yeah, and I pitched 27 innings, allowed 1 run. Took me out in the last 8th, last 10th, and the last 9th for a pinch hitter.
That's pretty frustrating. Of course, playing for the Browns was pretty frustrating anyhow, wasn't it?
Well, I played for Lord. Yeah, that's it. I played for the Browns in a 1-0 in Chicago. They were a 7th-place club, and we finally come up. I know one year I faced them in the 1st place in 52 a couple, 3 times. You know, I didn't win but 4 games with a 2.96 earn average.
Right.
I started out relieved all the time. I didn't quite be able to relieve it, too.
Yeah, you didn't seem to stay in one job. They keep bouncing you around.
Well, the thing was that I was a they said I had the best arm in baseball. They thought I threw about 100 miles an hour. I don't know how far I threw, but I know my name comes up every once in a while after all these years, you know, and guys talk about how hard I threw and my ball was alive. Every time it was a pretty good trade, they wanted me. It seemed like I always, some way I got in the trade some way, see, because it wasn't one line everybody wanted me, what it was. Because I was traded for Jerry Pretty. I went to St. Louis, and I was traded back for Virgil Trucks and Bobby Elliott, and then 53, you know.
You seem to...
There's money involved, actually, but, you know, I was trying to go ahead.
Okay, no, that's all right. Are you... When you joined the Tigers, they were going downhill. Then you went to the Browns, which were always downhill. Then you went to a White Sox team that was just barely improving, but then as soon as they got to a... Well, it looked like they were going to be halfway respectable. You were gone to the Browns again. You didn't seem to have any luck on staying with a team that was going to be a respectable team.
No. Well, what I say, everybody, I had a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
I pitched a lot of good games. It didn't show. I got beat 2-1 and 1-0, stuff like this. And so when it was a trade-up, I wasn't they could people would give up quite a bit for me, I think is what it was. See,
mm-hmm.
I was pretty valuable to look like for clubs, and I know one year I won 1 game for St. Louis, and I stopped a 21 game losing streak or 23 or something, and I beat somebody 5-1 or something like that, and it's 1-1 game or something like that, or shut them out or something there in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Well, St. Louis had a lot of those streaks, not quite that bad. I remember you, and I think I told you in my letter, I don't know if you recall, when I was a boy, I collected baseball cards. I've got 2 boys now that collect them by the thousands. I didn't have as many back then, but I remember getting a card of your 1952 Topps card, and I don't know, you know, heck, I don't know why one person picks somebody as a favorite, but you became one of my favorite players from that card, and I used to follow your record, and I used to look in the paper, the box scores every day to try to find out if you pitched and what you had done, and I remember following along. It seemed like it wasn't, but it seemed like every year you were traded to somebody else, and it was very difficult to keep track of.
Yeah, I stayed in Chicago, 50, 51, 52, 53, and then I was, right.
Okay, we mentioned some good games you pitched. Was there one game, was it one of those two hitters, or one game that stands out as the best game you pitched?
Well, I pitched some games. I got to be 1-0 and pitched a hell of a ball game against. And then the night I hurt my arm in 56. I was in Kansas City, and I actually had a no-hitter with 2 outs in the 8th inning. It got one little hit off from me, one little pop fly that Zernio had misjudged a little bit. I think about it going ahead and finished, had reversed it, and I got a no-hitter, I think. And I was really quick that night, and I hurt my arm in that year, and that's whenever it kind of forced me to quit, you know.
Mm-hmm. So who was that against?
That was against Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
That was Kansas City Athletics. I pitched in 1955, I pitched opening day. I pitched opening the baseball season against Baltimore and Washington. And I got beat. And then the next day, we had some guys that didn't really want to pitch. I told Paul, he was a good friend of mine. I mean, I thought a lot of Paul Richards, and I pitched any time they wanted me to. And I told him I said, my arm feels pretty good. If you need me a little bit today, Paul. So, and I was in the ball game in the second or third inning. Pitched 3-4 innings. That's 2 days in a row I pitched.
Mm.
And I came back and went to Boston, got shut out, and I lost. I was 0-4 before I could turn around. And my arm got kind of dead on me. So he sent me, he said, well, we need to send you out and let you rest a little bit, maybe, or something. So I went to Seattle, And on the way out there, my car broke down in Cutbank, Montana. And I was there a week.
Oh, boy.
And what I needed was rest. I went to Seattle, and I pitched four straight shutouts in Seattle. I won 12 straight ball games. I pitched them into a pennant. And we was fifth when I got there. We won a pennant. I finished 14-3 and was voted the outstanding pitcher of the Pacific Coast League that year.
And that was real tough competition in those days.
Pretty good competition. I went out there in about, well, after cut, I went down there in June and won 14 ball games after about the 1st of July on, you know, or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was still in the days where that was, they were trying for major league status for the Pacific Coast League.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, I had a lot of good players out there. Right?
Yeah. Okay, so you hurt your arm in Kansas City. That was the end?
I came back. What I did, yeah, I hurt my arm. And I'd just beaten the Yankees, and I'd beaten Boston. I was pitching good for us. And I hurt my arm up underneath. I think I hurt it like Dizzy Dean, I think. Somebody told me I hurt it underneath. It blood clotted and hemorrhaged on me. And I was out in about a month. I came back and started Washington again and re-hurt it. Then at the end of the year, I came back and beat Baltimore. I don't know, beat them 5-1 or 5-2 or something like this. And my arm was fine. But over the winter, I didn't know it. I went to spring training the next year, and I couldn't even throw. And what I should have done, I should have thrown all winter is what I should have done. And I've been all right, I think. And finally, at the end of the year, they sent me around to, this guy wanted me in Seattle out there because I'd pitched him in a pen. I told him I couldn't throw, but I won some ball games. I could pull a little long, take a little off, you know, and I could win. Then I went to see where they sent me to Buffalo. They didn't want to do all the money. And I beat him the back one, and I think he pitched a pretty good throw. Started coming around a little bit. I started getting a little fast, jump my fastball.
Mm-hmm.
But they sold me to Little Rock, and I just didn't want to go and go to Little Rock and play. I wasn't going to go to a bus league and play, so I quit, you know.
Is that when you became a golf pro?
Yeah, well, I turned professional and started playing some golf then, and right on about a year after that.
Okay. We'll get to that in a minute. When you're in your major league career, was there one hitter, well, the best hitter you saw, one hitter that was particularly tough on you?
Well, the greatest hitter nationally I ever pitched to was Ted Williams.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. I've got a big picture of him, and he says on his picture, he says, "To Lou, one of the nicest fellows I've ever met, and as good a fastballer as I've ever looked at."
No kidding.
Couldn't follow my fastball real well, and I had pretty good luck against him, but he was the greatest hitter. DiMaggio and the Mantle was two great hitters. Yeah, the guy that hit me was Yogi Berra was a real quick with a bat.
Yes.
He had to be pretty quick to hit me, and he was quick, and a guy like Bobby Avila or somebody just kind of met the ball a little bit like that, you know, was the guys that gave me a little bit more trouble than nobody really ever dominated me, you know. Because I think I threw two hardies. Nobody ever really. But those are the guys I remember would hit the ball fair. But, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Mickey would say, "My ball jumps." He said, "Your ball jumps about, jumps a foot when it comes in there. You know, rises about a foot." So I don't know. You know, like I said, I didn't realize I threw that hard until I go back and these guys talk about it, you know.
Yeah, it's back before the time. I suspect they probably found a lot of fellows like you that could, not a lot, but more than they imagined, that could really bring the ball. But they didn't have the timing devices. It would be interesting to see what fellows like you and some of the others could throw.
Yeah, if they had some of these, you know, like they take pictures of those pictures, if they could judge it by the movie. They can judge how hard we threw, I guess.
Yeah, they're trying to go back and get films of some of the fellows, and I guess I'll get an idea, and it would surely be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Did you save souvenirs from your baseball career?
Oh, I don't know. What do you mean with souvenirs?
Oh, I don't know. Autograph balls, caps from the teams you played for, things like that.
Yeah, I had quite a few of those. I had a lot of balls. I got a ball by Eisenhower when I pitched Old Day in 55, and I got the night I hurt my arm in Kansas City. The old timers had a game, and I got the ball. It's got all the old timers on it, like Charlie Gehringer. It's got all of them on there.
Mm-hmm. That's nice to have.
Yeah.
Touched on autograph. How much autograph or many autograph requests do you get on an average month or so?
Oh, probably 30 or 40.
Oh, that's a pretty active then, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, something like that, you know. I send them back to Giz, you know, right.
There's no reason not to. I think it's...
Well, I mean, no, baseball is great. I feel like I feel like they're our fans, the ones that made the money, you know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's a good attitude. A lot of guys today don't share it.
Huh?
A lot of the guys today don't share that attitude, and that's a shame.
You want to hold a second? You want to hold a second?
Yes. Thank you. We're about through. I know people have other things to do than talk, but I appreciate your time.
No problem.
You played for several managers in your major league career. You must have played for 8 or 9 different managers.
Right.
Paul Richards, of course, was outstanding, and you mentioned your respect for him, and I'm sure that he was probably the best manager you played for. But what are your opinion of your managers? Was there others that stood out as being good managers?
Paul Richards was so much. Paul Richards was the greatest manager I ever played for. Smartest baseball man, and could take guys, could take a mediocre guy and make a good ball player out of him. He had a knack. That guy did.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve O'Neill was the first guy that was my manager, and he played good baseball, but I didn't know enough. When you come up, you're young, you don't really know very much about baseball. You know, you don't know if a guy's a good manager or bad man. You don't. You know, down the line after you play. You know, for 8 or 10 years, well, then you realize who can manage and who can't.
Yes, sir.
But I played for a lot of them, but the only really outstanding one, you know, Boudreaux was a good manager, and the guys were naturally good managers would be in the major league, but Paul was outstanding. He was the smartest man in baseball, I thought.
A lot of people have told me that. There's just a tremendous amount of respect and affection for him. Does he belong in the Hall of Fame? He never had a pennant winner, but he certainly had some good teams and did some outstanding things for the ball players.
Yeah, and he was good. He was a pretty good hitter. You know, I went to World Series. I was in service 45 and went to World Series, and I know he hit a couple doubles in the World Series that day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they won the World Series in 1945.
Right.
And I know Dizzy Trout was pitching, you know, and he didn't know why, but he went down and called a forkball on Trout. With 3-2 on a hitter and the bases with a couple men on or something, bases loaded or something. I remember talking about it, you know. And Diz threw it and they struck the guy out. And it was kind of a little story that he had told. You know.
Yeah, he certainly knew what he was doing. He was an amazing, amazing manager. It's a shame he never got into a World Series as a manager.
Yeah, well, he could just take ball clubs. He took weak ball clubs and made good ball clubs out of them, as you know.
Yes.
And maybe some guys didn't really like him. If you played for him, you had to respect him, had to like him. But people, you know, and naturally, everybody's not going to like every manager. You can't play but 9 guys at a time, and somebody's going to get a raw deal once in a while, and maybe, you know, as you and I know.
Oh, yes.
Right? Okay, Rick. Yeah.
Let's go. Mentioning Richards brought something to mind. I didn't have that on my list to ask you, but I will. Back in the days you were playing, they had and you received the bonus, but there in the 50s, they had this rule where the boys had to stay for 2 years with the major league team.
Yeah, right. I think
pardon me?
Yeah, I think you're right, but I remember a little bit, but I didn't pay attention.
Yeah, well, it was, I guess, a totally stupid rule, but that's neither here nor there. Along the line, I guess when you were with Baltimore, they were very active in signing the young players because Richards liked them. Were there any problems when these boys joined the team, do you recall?
No. I don't remember. You know, we didn't sign too many. They signed one boy, and he didn't have I know they told me that this scout had signed him in a barn. And, boy, he threw that ball, and he just didn't have it. His name Bruce Winkle.
Yeah.
He just didn't throw that good, and between you and I. They said, you know, and I don't remember who we signed like that. We didn't sign a whole lot of guys like that.
Yeah, Baltimore signed more than any team.
Well, they probably did after I left.
Yeah, let's see, when you were there, they had, Billy O'Dell.
Who?
Billy O'Dell signed when you were there. Were you there at 50?
O'Dell, yeah, the pitch, left-hand pitch, yeah,
yeah.
We signed him.
And Wayne Causey?
Yeah, we signed Wayne, yeah.
Let's see. Tony Gastel, who died.
Yeah, okay.
I see. Who else was there?
I don't know, but Causey, did he play very much for us?
Causey played more as a first-year bonus baby than any other bonus baby of any team at any time.
Well, you know, we had, as you know, we didn't, you know, we traded off Don Larson and Turley,
right.
Hunter, and, you know, and I, as a player, one player was supposed to be named later, and that was me to go to the Yankees.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was a player to be named later, but Richard didn't want to let me go. And I know he told me that year, he said, you know, I was going to hold out that year. He said, I don't want you to, you know, as a, he told me to hold out. He said, if they take you, I'm going to give you a $40,000 a year contract.
Oh, boy.
That's what he, and he kept me there. He kept me. He, Paul always liked me. You know, I'd pitch great games for him. And like I say, I pitched him into first place there in 53 when we made a run for it, and I got beat a ball game. I had Washington beat 1-0. But we're going to go in first place in this ball game. And I had Washington beat 1-0. I had two outs in the ninth inning, and I had two strikes. I had 2-2 on Eddie Yost. I threw a curveball right down the middle of the plate, and the umpire called it a ball. And the next pitch, he got, I think I walked him, or he got a base hit. And then I, Gil Cohn came up, and I said to myself, I said, I'm not going to let him pull a ball. They beat me, they're about to get two base hits to beat me. Well, he hit a ball to left field for a base hit. Don Lindhart let it go between his legs. They beat me in 12 innings, 2-1. And we'd beat Washington. They couldn't beat us. And they beat us four straight. And Richard and them talked about it a lot of times. It cost the ball club $500,000. That one pitch, you know, that we don't want that ball.
Yes.
But that was the kind of story. And I got beat 2-1 in 12 innings.
I think Yost over the years got an awful lot of those, though, with the reputation he had.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's a good ball player.
Yeah, and it's a bad man to have up in a spot like that because if it, you know, right down the middle, it's hard. But I know I saw him play, and I think they gave him a much smaller strike zone than most of the other fellows had.
Yeah, they sure did. They sure well, you know, that guy was a fastball pitcher. And Hurley was umpire, and he thought he was going to throw a fastballer in his mind or something. I don't know.
Okay, a couple more questions. Your chief claim to fame, I think, is your hole-in-one, your longest hole-in-one.
Right.
When was that? And 427 yards. My goodness, that's something you can't even see that far.
Hold, can you hold it?
Sure. We'll wrap it up. I do appreciate your time again. I say,
on hold.
Okay,
tell
me about the long hole in one, and there'll be one more question, and I think we'll finish it.
Yes, I made the world's longest hole in one in 1961, 427 yards, and I'm in the Book of Guinness, and I'm in Ripley both, you know.
Yes.
And a guy beat me on a hole. As they say, he came to ball over 225 yards, and it's a straight downhill hole. And I've heard some stories, but just between you and I, but that's fine. They say some kids run over and dropped his ball in the hole and run off, and I've heard some stories, but records are made to be broken, so I've never said anything about it, you know.
No, that's true, but that's still an amazing feat.
Well, I hit the ball. You see, win all the driving contests. I hit the ball a long way at that time, you know.
Yeah.
And still hit it pretty good for my age, you know.
Are you still a golf pro?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. Is this club pro or do you go to tournaments?
I go to tournaments. Well, I was a club pro. I'm not a club pro now, and I go to tournaments.
Okay.
I'm in property and oil now, you know.
Sounds like a good life.
Well, yeah, I've been pretty fortunate, you know.
That's nice. Would you go back and be a ball player again?
Oh, sure.
Any regrets from your career?
What?
Any regrets from your career?
Oh, I have no regrets. I just regret that I never... was a greatest, you know, was won as many games as I should have won.
Yes.
Potential I had, but like I say, I just, when I got to be a good pitcher, I kind of hurt my arm, and like I say, I did pitch some good games, but I just, you know, but yeah, I'd go back, sure.
Great, that's great. Okay, Lou, thank you very much. Before I submit this to the magazine, would you like to see a copy of it?
Sure. Sure.
Okay. I'd like to, in case I've misquoted somebody, I want the subject always to read it over.
You got my address?
Yes, I do. After it's published, do you want some copies of the magazine?
Yeah, I'd like to have.
Okay, how many would you like?
Oh, I don't know, whatever you, you know, I don't know.
Okay, two or three?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay. I'll have this typed up in a few days. I'm a veterinarian and don't have all the time in the world to write, so it'll take me a few days to type it up.
Okay.
And then, but I'll get it out to you probably by the middle of next week, and you check it over, please, and then let me know if there's anything that needs to be changed or altered, and I'll do that before I send it to the magazine.
You bet, Brad.
Thank you very much, Lou.
You bet.
Bye.